views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I'm really excited about our guest, Pim DeMore, who is a co-founder of The Corporate Rebels. So let me introduce Pim. The Corporate Rebels are on a mission to make work more fun. They quit their frustrating corporate jobs and set out to travel the globe to visit the world's most inspiring organizations. They travel the world and they learn from workplace pioneers by checking off their renowned bucket list, which I'm interested to hear more about, and they share their findings and everything they learn about unique workplaces on their blog, through their talks and keynotes around the world, and by supporting organizations in their own transformation. They have been featured in the New York Times, in Forbes, Huffington Post, The Guardian, and the BBC. They have also been nominated for the Thinkers 50 Breakthrough Award and listed in the top 30 emergent management thinkers. Welcome, Pim.
Thank you very much, Claudette.
Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, great to be here. Happy to be able to share some of the things that we've been learning over the past 2.5 years.
Oh yeah, I've been looking forward to learning more about what you guys have been learning. So such an interesting story. But just to kind of bring listeners up to speed, do you mind sharing with us how the Corporate Rebels came to be? I mean, we know you quit your jobs, but there must be a little bit more of a backstory to it.
Yeah. So Joost, the other co-founder, and myself started Corporate Rebels 2.5 years ago. And as you mentioned, it all came from the idea that we were quite frustrated with our corporate jobs. So after we graduated from university, we worked for 2 or 3 years in large corporate organizations. Mm-hmm. And while we liked the job that we were doing, so the contents of the job itself, we didn't really enjoy the way the organization was structured and how it was actually the organization was actually more of a barrier than an enabler to doing a good job. Mm. So after 2 or 3 years, we decided that this wasn't going to be the thing we wanted to continue working in, or the organization we wanted to continue working in. And we, at the same time, we saw a lot of our friends and family members that had similar problems. So also that were also frustrated in the workplace and weren't really enjoying the 40 hours a week they spent at work. So we more or less figured, well, why are we not simply going to solve that problem? And why are we not going to find ways to actually make work more fun so more people enjoy the time they spend at work? So that's more or less the way we got started. And then we took the crazy, and back then what a lot of people said, stupid decision to to quit our jobs and to start traveling the world to visit these workplace pioneers.
What a great story. Thanks for sharing that. One of the things that I was curious about, and what you mentioned that when you and Joost were still working in an organizations and in corporate jobs, that the organization itself was more of a barrier, right? Rather than an enabler of good work. What were some of the barriers that you were running into?
Well, personally, I studied industrial engineering and I started working in a sales department of a large Dutch company. Mm-hmm. And I loved to be entrepreneurial, and that was also part of my job. So I was responsible for setting up new businesses around the world. Mm-hmm. So, which was quite exciting. But then every time that we came back to the headquarters to share the ideas and to share the plans that we had, all the time the entrepreneurial spirit was totally gone after we had a few meetings there, simply mm-hmm. because there was just the standard ways you should be doing things. There was so much safety built into the entire bureaucratic process that when you came into the office, you thought you had a good offer, and then you came out and you had an offer that was totally undoable in the real world, but that was safe enough for the headquarters to give a try. So they took out all the entrepreneurship that was going on in more remote locations of the business, which mm-hmm. for me was very frustrating, especially in the job that I had in that company. But at the same time, some other things that I really disliked, like the lack of freedom. I had to be in the office every day from 9 to 5, doing the work that I was being told to do. Very hierarchical command and control structure. And I think this company wasn't even that bad compared to others, but still was quite frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't really a purpose into what we were doing. So it was just making money for the shareholders. Mm-hmm. And that was not really a big motivator for me personally, as I wasn't a shareholder.
Right. Hey, great examples. And I'm sure a lot of folks listening can relate to some, if not all, of the barriers that you shared. You know, how the emphasis on safety and processes just, and it sounds like it was soul sucking, you know, just to took all the spirit and energy out of the ideas to the point that it was not interesting anymore.
Yeah, correct. And to share also one example of Yoast, that's quite telling as well. Yoast worked as a nanotechnologist in a big German firm.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing a lot of research, so really diehard research, so spending a lot of time in the laboratories. But also, because of the way the organization was structured, spending a lot of his time writing reports on what he was doing in the labs.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while, he figured, and he started to do some calculations, and he figured out that he spent 40 or 50% of his time writing reports on the stuff that he was doing in the labs. And when he did some more search to that, he figured out that nobody was actually reading those reports. So he, to give an example, he wrote in the middle of those reports, if you read this, please let me know, send me an email, drop me a telephone call. So at least I know that somebody is reading these reports. And he never got called, even when he put it on every page of the report, still nobody gave him a call or an email. So he realized that he was spending half of his time at work doing just useless stuff that nobody was taking a look at. So I think that is also a pretty good example of why we were quite frustrated in the workplaces that we worked in.
Yeah, that is, I laughed. It's funny hearing the story, but I know I'm sure when he was going through it or other folks are going through it, it's not funny at all, right? You're spending your time doing something that doesn't even matter.
Right. Yeah, it's terrible. And I think way too many people are experiencing similar things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And to find out, you know, writing in each page of the report, please let me know if you're actually reading this, get in touch. Right. And no one does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. So you've been traveling around the world right now for about two and a half years.
Yep. Yeah, correct. Yeah. So we still have our home base in Holland. But mm-hmm. we're traveling from there back and forth to a lot of different places to visit pioneers all around the globe that can teach us something about making work more fun.
And so big question, right? You know, what have you learned? Or would it be, or even sharing a couple, you know, some vignettes or examples of a couple of your favorite companies so far would be great just to bring this to life. Because I saw on your website, for example, you've been in Venice, right? That there's the H Farm, right? That was one. On your bucket list as a company that you really wanted to be a part of or learn more about. So yeah. What have you been learning?
Well, over the past 2.5 years, we've been traveling to over 100 workplace pioneers. So it's not just workplaces itself. When we started, we created a thing called our bucket list.
Okay.
And it's a list nowadays of more than 100 pioneers that we thought could teach us something about making work more fun. And these are well-known CEOs or entrepreneurs, like, for example, Richard Branson and other CEOs that you probably don't know by name, but that are CEOs of pretty well-known companies.
Mm-hmm.
or they are organizations, or these are academics that are studying in this field and that could teach us some of the valuable lessons on what academics say about making work more fun or creating more engaging work environments. Yeah. So we put all those people on the list and we simply said, well, let's visit them. Let's spend a couple of days with these people and their organizations and let's understand how they actually work differently. And because you most of the time you hear about these workplace stories and there's a lot of interesting stuff that's being mentioned in, for example, books or talks, but you never really get to understand what they do different. So that's what we set out to do. Let's see what they really do different in day-to-day activities to create more fun work environments. So one beautiful example that I still love very much is not too far from here. It's a Belgium governmental organization, a ministry, where around 1,000 people work and where these people have huge amounts of freedom in their workplace. So they get to decide when they work, where they work, how they work, with who they work. Mm-hmm. And it's all up to the employees themselves to figure out what is best, as long as they make sure that they achieve the results that they all agree upon. So, for example, people can come into the office at 11 a.m., for example, leave at 1 p.m. if they mm-hmm. don't feel like working that day or they don't come into the office at all. But, for example, if it's a rainy Sunday and they prefer to work, then they are more than welcome to do that. In the end, people are just totally free to decide it themselves, mm-hmm. Which in their case leads to not only very high engagement levels, mm-hmm. but also, for example, very low sick leave and very high productivity, because people feel much more control over their working life and also use that control to better not only themselves, but also the organization. So it's one of the interesting examples where we wouldn't really expect it. So in a governmental organization, where people actually have the freedom to work however they want and whenever they want.
Yeah, absolutely. I thank you for sharing that example because it is that, in a way, it goes against some philosophy about work, right? That some people would probably hear that story and think, oh my gosh, how do you know what people are doing? How do you know, so, but it's the paradox, right? Of giving people so much freedom, they actually have ownership. You said high engagement, high productivity, and they're really, sounds like, treated like adults to get whatever job done they're supposed to be getting done, right?
Yeah, and I think that's also one of the keys, like the treating people as adults, mm-hmm. as we would in their private life, but in the workplace, we don't do it that often. I think that is something that really needs to be changed.
Yeah, it really does need to be changed, and that's such a bigger topic. We're going to talk about it right after we come back from the break. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley, here with my guest, Pim DeMore. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. For those of you just joining us, my guest today is Pim DeMore. He is one of the co-founders of the Corporate Rebels. And we have just been talking about what it's like to work in an organization, right, where there's tremendous freedom, right, where there's high engagement, high productivity, and people really are treated like adults and get to decide when and how they work. And Pim, you were just saying that, you know, that's something that really needs to change in every workplace, right? That people need to be treated like adults at work.
Yeah, I think that is one of the vital parts that is really missing in today's workplaces. And I often compare this with a very simple example of when we are at home, we have huge amounts of responsibility. So we buy houses, we buy cars, make sure we're healthy, or at least most people do. Mm-hmm. And even tougher, we educate children. Right. So there's a lot of responsibilities. But then when we come into the workplace, all of a sudden we're expected to not even be able to spend $500 of company money, which doesn't make any sense to me. So we have all this freedom and responsibility at home. People do that very well, and they deal with it very well. But then they come into the workplace, and they're treated as small kids. And there's so many rules they have to abide to. It does make any sense, because you just more or less demoralize the people, and you don't use the creativity and the responsibility that they have in themselves that would be very valuable to also bring into the workplace.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, your example of all the things we do as adults in our personal lives, right? And what would happen in every workplace if we made those kinds of decisions, the equivalent decision, right, with that level of responsibility and ownership on a day-to-day basis at work, it would really transform organizations.
Yeah, and it actually does. So from the companies that we've been visiting and the workplaces that we have been visiting, it's amazing to see the before and afters of these transformations. And it's not easy to get to become such a workplace, because it requires a totally different way of working and totally different mindset to work. Mm-hmm. But when these organizations actually achieve it, and when they figure out a way to get there, the new way of working can be really amazing to the people that are working, but also to the success of the organization. And still then, it's not utopia, and it's not all perfect, because it's hard work. You also get more responsibility that you have to deal with. So it's definitely not easier, but it is so much more rewarding. And that is something that we hear from all the people working in these organizations, especially if they've experienced the before and the after of such organizational transformations.
Yeah, the level of satisfaction, right? And being able to do what you're passionate about. And you make a good point that it's not necessarily easy, right? That we're human beings coming together in an organization to get things done, right? And to achieve certain results. And so it's not going to be easy navigating that, but I think it's okay if something's challenging, if it's satisfying. That's what I'm hearing and what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think that is important to understand, because, and also our purpose, making work more fun, might sound a bit superficial, but it's with fun we mean more than just giving each other high fives and laughing all day at work. Mm-hmm. It is challenging yourself, getting the best out of yourself, taking on responsibilities that you beforehand wouldn't have imagined you could handle. All these kinds of things that really challenge people to be their best selves and to contribute to whatever the organization tries to achieve. And I think even though it's not easy, it's definitely much more rewarding for the people working in those organizations.
Yeah, and it reminds me of research, and I don't remember the specific source right now, but you know, some fairly current research about that, you know, one of the number one things that people are looking for, and many people are looking for in organizations, isn't the ability to grow and develop as people, right? Develop their skills, develop personally. And that's also a reason people are leaving organizations when they hit these dead ends and they can't develop, because it gets boring.
Yeah, it gets boring, and you're right. A lot of research shows this. A couple of months ago, we met Daniel Pink.
Oh wow! Yeah,
well-known author, of course, on also studying motivation in the workplace. And when we talked to him, also he said that the difference between what research knows and what organizations actually do in practice is still huge.
Yeah,
and the main factors that he talks about is autonomy, mastery, and purpose in work. And if we can get those things right, then there's a big chance we actually get people to be motivated at work. And I think in a lot of the organizations that we've been visiting, the organizations focus very strongly on this. So what is the purpose of the organization and how can we get people excited about it? Mm-hmm. So that is more than what I mentioned in my example, to actually not only make money for the shareholders, but actually contribute to something meaningful. And mastery, how can we ensure that we continuously challenge ourselves to become better in whatever it is that we love to do? And then also the autonomy to do things the way you think they are best to do them. So I'm not just looking at company rules or company guidelines, but giving people the freedom and the autonomy to actually do things the way they see fit. And I think these three core things are missing in a lot of organizations, and the ones that we've been visiting have found ways to actually put that into practice pretty well.
And one question I wanted to ask you, just going back a little bit in our conversation, when you and Yost picked your 100 pioneers to go visit, pioneering companies or leaders, right, or academics, what were some of the criteria you used to identify someone as a pioneer?
Yeah, very personal criteria. So mainly, we said we want to be inspired by people because they know something that we want to know, or because they do something that we want to understand. So no hard criteria. And I think that is also one of the cool things about that bucket list, is that it is super diverse. So you have academics studying in real depth self-management, for example. So what are other structures or ways to organize our organization. At the same time, we have been visiting very small companies, for example, small law firm in Holland. At the same time, we've been visiting a huge 70,000 employee Chinese manufacturing company that does things totally different. So I think there's a huge variety in the cases and a huge variety in the pioneers on that list. And I think that is also what makes it kind of special, that there's not one solution, and there also shouldn't be one type of case study for people to learn from. I think the variety and the diversity of that list makes it even more interesting to actually see how any organization could do things differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it seems like every organization, I do a lot of work in organizational culture and helping people transform cultures. And I think of every organization has their own culture, like every person has their own fingerprint, right? And that's what I'm hearing you say too, in a way that there's really in every organization, this will manifest, these ideas and principles will manifest differently, right? According to that whatever that industry is or whatever the culture is of that company.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the main things people get wrong. So they see, for example, that Spotify is doing amazing stuff when it comes to their culture. Mm-hmm. So they see this and they copy literally what Spotify is doing, or at least literally the model that Spotify has, but the entire philosophy behind it and the basic principles that are underneath that model are often forgotten. So they just look at it, they see the structure, they implement that structure, and then they wonder why it doesn't work that well for them. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the main issues. You should look at much more different cases and pick out the stuff that is really something that would be able to fit in our own work environments, and then test it and experiment with it and learn if it actually is as important to your organization as you thought it was. And I think that's where a lot of organizations go wrong. So there's no one size fits all solution. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of testing, a lot of experimenting. It's definitely not easy. Mm-hmm. But it is at the same time an adventure worth making.
It's a great adventure, I've found in my work. It's a real, like you're saying, it's a great adventure. That's a good word for it. It's very emergent, right? There's always something new emerging, and you're in a way, you're watching for it. You're observing. You're seeing what's going to happen next as people change, right? Individually and collectively.
Yep. And it's the same thing as what we see in the organizations that we support in their transformations. Like, it takes a lot of trial and it takes a lot of error, but as long as people get to understand that they are in charge of also changing the organization, so this shouldn't be just HR, or this shouldn't be a transformation department of a company, or this shouldn't be outside consultants that transform an organization. Mm-hmm. It should be the people, especially those at the front line, who are in charge of the change initiatives. And if you can get those people to be excited about the transformation and to really dare to try new stuff, mm-hmm. that's where you can really make a significant change in how people work.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been working with a small manufacturing company the last several months, and a lot of what you're talking about is resonating with a lot of what we've done, where we've pulled almost everybody in the organization has been involved with, you know, initial kind of assessing of what was going on in the organization, what was going well, what wasn't. And then some of the absolutely, really most brilliant ideas, as you mentioned, have come from the folks on the manufacturing floor. You know, I was meeting with them in small groups and like, why aren't we doing this? And why aren't we improving that? And this is my idea. And this is, you know, it's literally come from them, you know, the direction we're heading in. So it's like finding gold, you know, when you're in these conversations with people.
And it's so it could be that simple. So mm-hmm. just asking people or employees what it is that they need to do a better job, and then giving them the opportunity to realize that as well. So, and I, at the same time, I think it's one of the most overlooked things in organizations. Listening to employees, especially those at the front line. Mm-hmm. I think
employee engagement survey, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, through proper conversations and actually sitting down and understanding what they do.
Not emailing and not surveying and not, unless you're doing a verbal survey in dialogue. So, great. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. This is Claudette Rowley, and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
High-frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light Integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit sourcelightintegrations.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal, and this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it, and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more, I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change. That you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at SwissHypnotherapy.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as we reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit JenniferNoelleTaylor.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, here with my guest today, Pim DeMore, who is one of the co-founders of the Corporate Rebels. And we've been talking about, you know, organizations that are really pioneers in doing work differently, treating people differently, really allowing people the freedom and imagination and creativity to change how they work, how work works. Pim, before I forget, I wanted to give you an opportunity to let listeners know, they want to learn more about your work. How can they find you? How can they find more information?
Pretty easy. Just Googling Corporate Rebels or checking out any of our social media. And the main resource actually is corporate-rebels.com.
Okay.
The website and the blog that if you don't have anything to do for the next 2 years, there's more than enough for you to read radical workplace practices.
Right. And you and your co-founders blog fairly frequently, it looks like, right? So there's a lot of new information and new stories.
Yeah, we publish twice a week on these topics.
Wow. So what a great resource for people and organizations and leaders who are even beginning to think about this. They can go right to your blog.
Yeah, there's a lot of practical stuff in there, a lot of no-nonsense stuff in there. I think I'm not allowed to swear on the radio in the US, but... in Holland, I would be swearing right now, but a lot of the corporate stuff you wouldn't be hearing on our blog. It's just no nonsense, easy for people to understand, and practical insights
Doing
things differently at work.
Wonderful, wonderful. Good resource for everybody to know about. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about was leaders in this, right? And I know you mentioned you've met with a lot of different leaders, Richard Branson and other CEOs we probably, you know, haven't heard of in terms of knowing their names publicly. But what are some of the attributes or mindsets of leaders who are willing to go on this adventure?
I think these are people that think that that realize that, first of all, the current way of working of most traditional organizations doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That is one. And then secondly, they highly value other people. So the work that others are doing, and they know that, like all CEOs in all the big companies say, our people are our most important asset. I think these mm-hmm. people actually believe that. And they don't only believe that, they also put it into practice.
Mm-hmm.
So these people believe that if they give the opportunity to their staff to have that freedom, to have that autonomy, to have that responsibility as well, that they are better off than when the responsibility and the authority just lies with the most senior people in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a super important realization. At the same time, really hard also to put into practice, but these people believe in it so hard that they constantly strive to make next steps and to push that authority and that responsibility to so-called lower parts of the organization.
And so it sounds like they in some cases probably have to change their mindsets, right? Or grow themselves as leaders and people.
Yeah. One of the most beautiful examples of that is the CEO of a cookie factory here in Holland. And he had been a very directive leader before their transformation. And because of that, there was a lot of pressure on his shoulder as well to make the decisions, to determine the course of the organization, and to more or less control everyone, whether they were doing a good job or not. Mm-hmm. And that led to a lot of stress. So he became addicted to a number of things. He went into rehab for a couple of months. And during that rehab, he thought, well, the most important thing on my mind at the moment is not making sure that I get rid of my addictions, but is my company actually surviving? Mm-hmm. And after he came out of rehab, cured from his addictions, then came back into the workplace, and he figured out that this cookie factory had the best months that the company ever had.
Oh my gosh.
So it was interesting to him, quite painful, as you can imagine as well. But yes, this led to him also thinking for himself, like, apparently I'm holding the company back from what it could be. And mm-hmm. So he started this personal transformation process in which he figured out how he could actually serve the company in a better way than being this directive leader. Mm-hmm. So he became much more supportive to everyone in the organization, opening up all kinds of information so people could make the right decisions. And he shouldn't be the one doing that all the time. And he became more or less the entrepreneur again. So he went on this personal transformation, which led to an organizational transformation. And I think a lot of this stuff is important for also for leaders to understand and to realize themselves.
What a great story. Thank you for sharing that. He was out for a few months and the company had their best months.
Yeah, correct.
Wow. What a wake-up call for anybody.
Yeah,
And then he was able to embrace it and really use it as an opportunity in his life. That's wonderful. So in terms of your recent companies on your bucket list that you've been traveling to visit and get to know, is there one that you'd like to share with listeners and another great example of a company that's embraced these ideals and principles and put them into practice?
Another interesting one is the one that we visited recently in China.
Mm-hmm.
And I briefly mentioned it already. Is this?
Yeah.
It's a white goods manufacturing company.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Hire, and it's a 70,000 employee company. So they're doing work all around the globe, actually, but their main part is still in China. And they have, over the last couple of years, been radically transforming the way they work and the way the organization is structured. And I think this is one of the other main trends that we see in organizations, that they split up the big organization into smaller, either self-managing teams or smaller units or smaller companies. And this Chinese example is a pretty good example in that, where they split up the 70,000 employee company into more than 4,000 micro enterprises, what they call them. So small companies, mm-hmm. where people can take a stake in the company, have profit sharing. So really be entrepreneurs within the bigger ecosystem of the organization. And this is an interesting one because this is really what breaks with the more traditional organizations, where they think that you need size and centralization to get the best out of the skill.
Mm-hmm.
But this company shows that actually breaking it up, giving people the feeling that they are entrepreneurs and therefore creating higher levels of engagement and motivation actually leads to better performance. And recently, this organization took over a part of GE in the US as well. So GE Home Appliances.
Okay.
And since they've been, or since they took over that organization, also there at GE, they have seen very good results because of that new way of working that the Chinese company also started to pilot with in the US. So it's a pretty interesting example, once again, of an organization that kind of busts all the stereotypes and the prejudice that we have, because mm-hmm. it's Chinese, it's a manufacturing company, and it's so big. Still, they are able to transform. It, of course, needs very strong leadership, but they have shown that it is possible and also therefore give a lot of hope to other organizations that it could actually be done, even if you're big, even if you're in China, and even if you're in manufacturing.
Right, right, exactly. Like, as you said, all three of those have some stereotypes attached to them, right?
Yeah.
So what, and I don't know if you know the history, but what inspired the leadership of that company to go in this direction? I mean, was there an event or a particular catalyst?
No. Well, we met him also a couple of months ago, and he told us that a lot of things inspired him, mainly actually a lot of management gurus in the West. So from the US or in Europe, lots of management people that write about how things could be done differently. But then nobody actually puts this into practice. And he actually said, well, what I did is to combine the Eastern philosophies and the Eastern ways of working with those Western management philosophies. Mm-hmm. But I actually started to put it into practice as well. So not just reading about it and being the philosopher about all these new ways of working, but actually trying the things that Peter Drucker or that Tom Peters or that Gary Hamel are talking about. So this is interesting. And then he said, well, I actually tried to apply some of those things. That's what inspired me. And that's what continuously actually helps me to push the boundaries. Now I think he's even ahead of those people and actually pioneering in what management could be like. Because this model, I think, is not something that really came out of research, but it came more out of experimenting and trying a lot of things and believing that the customers and the employees should be the center of the organization, not the bureaucratic instruments that we put into place over the past decades.
Right. Well said. The customers and employees are the center of the organization. Yes. Yeah. So with something that I know it sounds simple, but it of course isn't, right? But with something that's central and simple to build everything around, right? He was able to sounds like pull together a bunch of different ideas, experiment a lot. I love that it didn't come, that what he did came out of his experience and his employees' experiences much more than, you know, so it was very realistic.
Yeah, indeed. And also, while it sounds simple, it of course isn't, but a lot of these organizations, how they approach it sounds pretty simple. So the basic principles behind it can be really, really simple. Like there's a big Dutch organization, 14,000 employees working in home care nursing, where there's in the 14,000 employees, not a single manager in the organization.
Wow.
So it's just self-managing teams of nurses that tend to their own neighborhood, being really successful in that. So also a very simple philosophy where just nurses tend to their neighborhood. They have the technology put in place to make sure that these nurses can easily connect to each other. And they say, well, just provide proper healthcare. That's all we need. We measure some very basic things to measure your performance. And that's about it. That's your job. You know how to do your job. So just go ahead and do it. And we don't need all these fancy tools and bureaucratic instruments to control you in how you do your job.
Wow, what another beautiful story. My goodness. So on that note, we are going to take a quick break. This is Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with Pim DeMore, one of the corporate rebels, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Miss any shows during the week? Don't worry, we've got you covered. Yahoo! With the free Transformation Talk radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand. Yes! Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with my guest, Pim DeMore. And we were just talking about examples of organizations, companies that are self-managed, in which Pim, right, people actually have their mandate, they know what they need to do, and they go out and do that work beautifully. It sounds like that home care company I'm talking about, home health company.
Yep. And the interesting thing is, the results of that organization are also a lot better than their more traditional competitors. So they are cheaper because they don't have all this back office. They get to spend more time with their patients, which means that they actually get cured faster than mm-hmm. with the more traditional ones. Client satisfaction is higher, and also employee engagement is higher than competitors. So it's interesting to see that it's this more or less simple way of working that sounds very common sense is also very beneficial to the outcomes of the organization.
Yeah, better help. Yeah, better care for the clients, better satisfaction, lower costs, higher productivity. I mean, wow. So you probably get asked this question a lot, but I have to ask you too. So why isn't every organization running out and working on transforming in this particular way when the results are so astoundingly positive?
Because it's hard. First of mm-hmm. all, it's hard to transform.
Yeah.
A lot of people lose power.
Right.
A lot of people lose status, mm-hmm. especially when you talk about self-managing organizations, of course. So that is, I think, one important barrier to change. Mm-hmm. And I think also that there's a big problem when it comes to awareness. So there's not a lot of companies doing this. So we've been searching for these organizations for the past 2.5 years. And we've now been able to find a bit over 100, mm-hmm. which means that there's not a lot of companies around there in the world doing things totally different.
Right.
So there's just a few out there. Some have been around for quite a while, some even several decades. So it's nothing new, but there's not a lot of them doing it. So there's also not a lot of awareness. So mm-hmm. a lot of people have no clue that it's actually going on, that it can be done. But even if they finally understand that there is another way to work, then there's still the knowledge gap when it comes to how can we actually get there? So what is a sensible and a proper way mm-hmm. to transform into such an organization? And most of them still try to do that very traditionally, coming up with a 3-year transformation program where they specify every step of the way ahead or in front of or before the transformation starts. And then they figure out along the way that it doesn't work, and then they stop and they start a new transformation. And so the approach is entirely wrong, especially if you look at how these companies transform. They do that differently. They focus much more on let's start with the people that actually want to change. Let's right. focus on them. Let's support them to transform their way of working. Let's learn from that. And then let's see how we can translate that to other parts of the organization. So there's a big lack of awareness and not a lot of knowledge on how to properly transform. And I think this is something that really needs to be changed. And this is also why we put a lot of effort into sharing the stories of these organizations, so people get a better understanding of how they could transform as well.
Exactly. I mean, well said, right? That loss of power and status for some people, which can be a real challenge, right? It's a real mindset shift. And then literal how-to is missing. So I'm curious, are the Corporate Rebels writing a book about this?
We are writing a book, but it's not about the transformations per se. It has some transformation stories in it.
Uh-huh.
But it's more of an adventurous book of how we've been traveling around the world for 2.5 years and some of the incredible case studies that we've come across. So some of the examples I just shared,
mm-hmm.
and it's written in a very storytelling kind of way. So it's
great.
Not the dry management stuff that is that you can find in a lot of bookstores, but
right.
It's more written from our personal perspective and what we've seen when visiting these companies.
Got it. So it won't become a doorstop, right?
No, hopefully not.
Yeah. And is your book been published yet, or is that something we can watch for coming up?
Yeah, it's going to be published in January or February 2019.
Oh, congratulations.
So currently still working hard to finish it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's going to be such a contribution for people to even start reading these case studies, right? And really hear more about what you've done. And I think sometimes it's that inspiration of hearing that it's possible, and what other people have done really sparks imagination in some organizations.
Yeah, I really believe in that too. To really, if you have these good examples out there, and if you tell the honest story that it's not all great and that it's also tough, but that it's a better and a nicer way of working, at least more rewarding. I think that's important for people to aspire to something new and to understand that there is another way of working, that there is actually an alternative.
Yeah, there's an alternative and something is possible. And I know sometimes when I'm working in organizations, I'll hear leaders say, I know what we're doing. And I know one of the leaders you mentioned talked about this. What we're doing is not working, right? And I absolutely don't know what to do differently, right? I'm just, that they'll say some version of that. I know this isn't working. Like I'm being realistic. I'm being honest with myself, but I don't know what to do differently. So I think there is, I'm excited about your book because I think there really is a need for people to start just even reading and hearing about the fact that a different reality exists at work.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that is super important to make sure that more people or more organizations start transforming towards this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm sure organizations, leaders, people who work in organizations listening to this show who are intrigued by, right, what you've done, what you've learned, what you've shared, what would be, and they're thinking, wow, what could we be doing along these lines in our organization? What are some recommendations that you have for people who want to dip their toe in or try out a few things?
Well, the first step is very simple. So to really start listening to employees.
Mm-hmm.
To get a sense of what they want to change. So what is it that currently frustrates them? What is it that they love about their workplace? And what is it that they really, really want to get rid of?
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about these simple questions and getting the conversation going, but then also empowering them or giving them the opportunity to actually make a change in it themselves. So and let them also be part of the solution and not just the ones that share their feedback and then wait for stuff to happen. So give them the opportunity to be part of that transformation as well. So just simply, first of all, listening to them, understanding
mm-hmm.
what really needs to change and then giving them the possibility to act upon it. I think mm-hmm. there are very basic steps that are just absolutely required if you want to move towards this direction. And of course, then when you start working, the first things are easy and then the second things are harder and the third things are even harder. But it's fine. You will learn along the way. And there's a lot of resources out there that continue to give more guidance on this. But I think the start should be very simple, just listening and making the first small changes in people's workplaces.
Thank you for that. And it's so much, it seems like almost everything starts with listening. And one of the things that we'll talk about sometimes is that, especially with leaders, is I'll say, listen to what you actually hear versus what you want to hear. which for some leaders can be two different things.
Yeah. I like that.
Actually, you're hearing, even if it really is hard to hear. Like, you need to know the truth of people's experiences.
I fully agree. And if you're not open to that, then you can listen all you want, but it's not really going to help.
It's not going to help, right? Because you're just going to be listening for what matches your view of the world, right? And your mindset and matches it. So really being open to just hearing everything and letting people be part of the change. I sometimes notice there's a mindset, like in some companies, of the people thinking that people don't want to be part of the change, but they do, because people close to the problem really do want to solve the problem. They want to make it work. They want to make it better. And they often have that knowledge. So it sounds like really what you're saying is let them be part of that change. Let them really dig into it.
Yep. Fully agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Pim, I want to thank you so much for sharing your experiences, your wisdom, you know, everything that you've been learning in the past 2.5 years with listeners today. It's been enlightening and inspiring and really, you know, a whole different perspective on work. So thank you.
You're welcome. Very happy to be able to share this stuff.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you. And of course, as always, I want to thank all of the listeners for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. As always, we had a great time. Please join us the second and fourth Fridays of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific. And we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at claudetterowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.